what happens inside is reflected outside. And what is happening today in our world, when we look at really the collective consciousness, it's pretty low. There's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of people being sick, there's a lot of destruction of the planet, all of that. And all of it starts with we are eating the wrong food for our species. And once we start aligning ourselves a little more with who we are on a biological and on an anatomic level, but also on a value-based level, then we are able to, let's say, maybe fulfill our lives a little bit better and listen to who we are more. And then it just makes sense on, you know, reconciling our action and aligning ourselves with what we preach. And that's the same also, I think, with becoming vegan, is you are becoming more conscious about some issues, and then you start paying attention as well to other issues that may not be animal related, right? But so I think it's all about going into this direction of becoming more conscious and living our lives by who we truly are. The key message of Let Us Be Heroes is really, it is time that we all put our best foot forward. We need to do our best. If we are really serious about the state of the planet, if we truly grasp the importance of what is happening to our health, if we truly grasp the importance of what is happening to the animals, then baby step is not enough. We are not babies, we are adults.
This is Conversations with Changemakers with me, your host, Gary Tirola. Every week I bring you an inspiring leader that is rethinking what it means to be a changemaker. During these conversations, I slowly peel back the layers of the minds of our future leaders that are using their skills to positively impact this world. Hey listeners, welcome back to another episode of Conversations with Changemakers. And as promised, week in and week out, I bring you a better changemaker every single week. It just seems like that because I get so excited to dig deep into exploration and dig deep into very deep questions on what makes the guests on the show such changemakers. And it's no different this week. We've got Rebecca Capelli from, you might know her from Instagram or a documentary, Let Us Be Heroes. Welcome and thank you for your time, Rebecca.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. Where are you sitting right now? Which country?
I'm based in Singapore.
Singapore. Why Singapore?
Oh, wow. We're going to make it short for the podcast sake, yeah. Right? I've been in Asia for 15 years. I'm actually started learning Chinese at a very young age, and I traveled to China. I moved to China very young. And so after China, I just moved around in the region. I moved from Beijing to Shanghai to Singapore to Hong Kong. And now back in Singapore.
So myself as well. I mean, I know you are from European descent and North African descent, but I also love Asia. Asia for me has always kind of felt like home. We spend a lot of time, Claire and I spend a lot of time in Indonesia. And it just feels there's a more of a spiritual connection in the East. I don't know if you've found that and if maybe that's something that has connected you.
I think that depends where you are at in your life, because you can live in Asia your whole life and, you know, just remain in a very materialistic bubble. So I think it's a really personal journey and you can find spirituality everywhere. But yes, it's true that in countries like Indonesia, especially Bali, you see people more connected to spirits and this realm.
Yeah, of course. So getting onto your documentary, I loved it. I actually watched it in Kuwait about a couple of months ago, lying in the bed with Claire. There's not much to do in Kuwait when it's so hot. So it was saving us from our hour of not knowing what to do, but it did so much more. I was busy working with a whole bunch of the vegan society in Kuwait. And it just got me thinking. What your documentary really got me thinking is I understand veganism. I've been vegan for over 4 years now, etc. I know the need for it. But you so eloquently put the vegan message out there that it's not just about our health or not just about the planet health or just the welfare of animals. Everything is connected. And The first question is definitely going to be, why the disconnection in the world when it comes to the vegan message? Why are people doing some things, such as plastic-free, and other people aren't seeing the connection with consuming fish?
Oh, wow. So that's a big question. I don't know if one person has all the answers for that. But what I would say is that when what happens inside is reflected outside. And what is happening today in our world, when we look at really the collective consciousness, it's pretty low. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of confusion. And there's a lot of people being sick. There's a lot of destruction of the planet, all of that. And all of it starts with we are eating the wrong food for our species. And once we start aligning ourselves a little more with who we are on a biological and on an anatomic level, but also on a value-based level, then we are able to, let's say, maybe fulfill our lives a little bit better and listen to who we are more. And then it just makes sense on, you know, reconciling our action and aligning ourselves with what we preach. And this is where things like, for example, going zero waste or plastic free is extremely important. But then it needs to be consistent with everything else we are doing. And that's the same also, I think, with becoming vegan, is you are becoming more conscious about some issues, and then you start paying attention as well to other issues that may not be animal related, right? Mm-hmm. But so I think it's all about going into this direction of becoming more conscious and living our lives by who we truly are.
Mm. That was one of the biggest assets, I think, for a lack of a better term, that I picked up when I went vegan. It wasn't me letting go of meat. It was me picking up the curiosity and the ability to ask questions of everything else in my world, and start understanding that, like, media has controlled me for 30 years without knowing. You're in a position, you're in a major position of influence now in the world. It's a fantastic documentary, and I urge all the listeners out there to go watch it. I've just shared it on my social links already, but it will be in the show notes. And I know you are busy on another documentary right now. So the first one is Let Us Be Heroes. What was your initial motivation before we start talking about the future plans?
Yes,
what is your initial motivation behind Let Us Be Heroes? And what is the story behind the name?
Well, yes, that excellent question, right? So after I became vegan about 4 years ago, and very quickly I realized that that was not enough for me. Not just because I wanted to, you know, convince other people or anything like that. It's just because for most of my life, I contributed to funding industries and to actions that I don't agree with, and I was really shocked to see that I could not see that earlier in my life. And so I educated myself, and very quickly I realized, well, I need to speak about this because there are other people out there who are contributing with their actions to something they don't agree with. So I'm going to become a public speaker, and I'm going to go and I'm going to give talks for free to people in their workplace, in their school, everywhere I can, everywhere where people would have me. I trained myself actually with a coach, and I did a TEDx as well.
Oh, wow. So a public speaking coach.
Yes, a public speaking coach. Okay. Because I had done in my career, I have a former career in sales and diplomacy, etc. So I had done some public speaking, but it's different. And I think when it comes to veganism, which is really a message that no one wants to hear when we speak of, you know, I plan to very quickly just target and talk to people who are not vegans, who think they are not interested. So, so yes, I had to craft my message in a way that would reach to them. And I find that the way that is the most important when we communicate is to come from a place of authenticity. And so I speak from my heart to other people's heart. I never come in with a judgment or telling people what to do. I just say, hey, you know, we all are overdue for a red pill. So today, this is your red pill. This is what I come across, and this is what I think you should know moving forward. And if you are interested, then you can dig deeper, and then I provide resources. And to my greatest surprise, and even to my surprise now, people reacted really well to this message. And I started to see consistent, excellent feedback across all kinds of audiences. So let's say young people and students would, you know, love the talk and, you know, sign up to try, you know, vegan for 30 days or get a leaflet or something. But also professionals, you know, much more advanced in their career, different age groups, different social and different cultural background. And so when I saw that the response was pretty much the same across all kinds of audience, because I surveyed actually the first 30 talks that I gave, that really gave me the confidence. And I realized, okay, right. So I've been doing that for a year and a half. I have reached maybe 1,000 people, and this is not enough for me. So how do we scale this? And today, if you want to scale anything in terms of message, of course, video and film is one. I am not a YouTuber. I don't have the patience for that kind of thing.
I know. I hear you.
So I turn to film, really. And that's how I got into it. So actually, Let Us Be Heroes is based on my talk tracks that was already, you know, in a way tested and proven. But instead of just me speaking, then I invited some of my friends and some of the people that I met that are super inspiring. So, you know, high performing athletes. You know, my friend Peter from Sea Shepherd, who has really, I mean, tons of stories, and it was hard to pick, you know, just a few about, you know, defending the oceans. But also, you know, people who are entrepreneurs in tech and fashion, etc. And the key message of Let Us Be Heroes is really, it is time that we all put our best foot forward. We need to do our best. If we are really serious about the state of the planet, if we truly grasp the importance of what is happening to our health, if we truly grasp the importance of what is happening to the animals, then baby step is not enough. We are not babies. We are adults. We all make, you know, very important relationships in our life. Very important decisions in our life, for relationships, for work, for career, for anything, right? Okay. Where we live, etc. And so it's time that we also take adult decisions when it comes to how what we eat, but also how we consume and how we live impact others, including animals. We can't leave the animals out of the equation. So Let Us Be Heroes is really a calling on to people saying, there is a hero in you. You know, anyone can make a difference. Anyone can do something they're proud of and contribute to something that they're passionate about or giving a meaning to their lives. It's at the fingertips of everyone. You know, being vegan is not special at all. We can all do it, and we can all feel better for it.
I love the saying that you have in the beginning of the documentary, that it's, I might misquote it, but I'll get the right gist. It's about, I'm not going to be able to change the world, says 7.6 billion people. And it is, yes, it is so apt. I try and explain to, especially when I'm working with clients one-on-one, I say, everyone, like you say, everyone has a hero within them, and everyone is able to be a change maker in their own right. And I come from a background of recovering from alcohol and drug addiction. So for me, I've never understood the one step at a time kind of belief. It's like you either all into something or you're not there, or it's the disconnection has taken over your life. And then you've got to ask yourself, where is that form of slavery coming from?
Yes, but that might be a bit difficult, I think, for some people to understand or to agree with in the beginning. And I think we also, although I am like that as well, for me, okay, I take a decision and I follow through and I'm consistent right away, because it's a shift of consciousness. But for some people, they need to take steps, and that's okay too. So the best way to transition is your own way. If you are someone who is comfortable taking steps, take the steps, but keep taking the steps. Don't stop in the middle thinking, okay, that's good enough. Because if we really are serious again about it, then we need to go the whole way. We need to follow through and we need to reach our full, you know, best potential.
Mm. That's amazing. Again, in the beginning of the documentary, you mentioned that truths go through three stages. Can you talk us through these three stages of truth that has happened all across our world and history?
Yes, well, that's not from me, right? Yeah. So that's Schopenhauer. That's been also, quoted and attributed to Gandhi and to a lot of people. But it's basically, according to which we humans have a hard time accepting truth right away. We have to argue with it. So first, we mock it, we ridicule it, we think it's, you know, a joke, and then we fight it and we are in active opposition to it before it's accepted as being evidence. So one thing that is interesting to note is that today we all know that smoking cigarette causes cancer. But if you ask someone in the 60s, before 1964, when the WHO classified the cigarette as causing cancer, then people thought, you know, you see actually street interview from back in the days and people are just laughing and they're like, well, everything in moderation. No, it's fine. I don't believe it. And you see, you know, advertising being pushed to mothers, for example, saying, oh, if you smoke Philip Morris, you will be a good mom. And doctors recommend that brand of cigarette, etc. Mm-hmm. And these are real. So, I mean, that's just not so long ago. And just to understand that today there are some truths that we are finding, that we are finding ridicule and absolutely ridiculous, and that we don't want to believe and we are in denial. And in the future, people will look back at us and think, wow, these people were so silly. But you know what? That's just the way things are.
Yeah. It's progression, isn't it? It's progression of our consciousness and we become curious. And as much as people listening, you might be still eating steaks or you might be fully vegan, no one is better than the next person as long as you're moving forward and everything is relative. I've always said that. But you yourself, Rebecca, have a story. And I think it will create lots of value because I've always said, as someone that used to work in sales back then, it's like facts sell, but story. So facts tell, but stories sell, right? And that's why you, as a public speaker, can relate a lot to other people. And I want you to share your story of when your dad passed away and something that influenced you when you were 16.
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, if I really backtrack even before that. As a child, I was always very sensitive to animals and animal cause. But again, you know, this is what happens. You're told that you have to eat this, you have to eat that. And maybe, you know, things happen in your life and you identify yourself as someone who eats, you know, a lot of meat because you're strong. And, you know, there's this whole narrative that is conscious and subconscious out there. My father was diagnosed with brain cancer when I was about 15 years old, and within 9 months he was gone. So, you know, surgery one, cancer comes back, surgery two. And so, yeah, we were left, four of us, with my siblings. My mother was a widow at just 40 years old with four kids, and I was the eldest at 16 years old. My brother, the youngest, was six. And beyond the grief, what was really difficult at that time was the financial situation, because all of a sudden you just have a single mother who had been also, prior to my dad passing, she had been working with him on a very, you know, just self-developed and self-taught way, wrote books and arts and, you know, collecting antiques and things like that. And suddenly, you know, you need to have a steady income, and you don't know how you're going to make it. So that was really, really difficult. So I think what is one thing that I am very clear about, that I think a lot of people are not so clear sometimes, is the importance of health. And when you lose someone who becomes sick or disabled because of a sickness, and later on, you know, who just passed, that's not just the grief to carry. There's also everything else in your life is impacted. How are you going to continue being educated? How are you going to, you know, build a career? How are you going to have the confidence to go out there without maybe a guiding parent? And this health issues, this health crisis that we have perpetuates a vicious circle of poverty. Because when you have the breadwinner of the family, who, again, gets sick and dies early, then, you know, everybody is impacted. So how are you going to make it better for the next generation? It's very difficult. I was blessed to live in France, and it's a country where you have access to free education. And then I put myself through, you know, different degrees, etc. Most people are not that lucky. And it's not fair that we have people dying of preventable disease, you know, everywhere around the world, that a whole food plant-based diet has been proven to reverse. And I think this is why this is something that is so important to me to convey, to tell people, look, there is another way, you know. You can go down the allopathic way. It may or may not work for you. For a lot of people, it does not. Or you can also look at your lifestyle and what can you change in your lifestyle to get better and to really take yourself, your health, your life, and your loved ones seriously.
I think we're living in a very exciting time in our world because we've got influencers like yourself making documentaries. We've got doctors that have become the new rock stars of the world. And health has been a serious focus now. And especially if I look at the younger generations, I'm not too sure about France or Singapore, but very much so if I look online, this undercurrent of a question of what is the best route to take for my health. Now, I've realized one thing. Everyone wants the same thing. Everyone wants to be healthy. There's a lot of people that might have different methods. And there's a lot of different contradictory doctors out there and very like sought after doctors that might be recommending the wrong route because of epidemiology arguments or coming their own story and perhaps they're not predisposed to any illness and disease and they're 60 and looking healthy, etc. And I urge people, always ask the question, like, go further than the doctor, go further than the words and and the social media. And there's one thing I always follow, and it's like, follow the money where the research has come from. If you're unable to do that, then watch documentaries that are really set up in a nonprofit way. When there's products spurting out of ideologies, then you've got to start questioning, is it the product they're after or is it true health?
Right, and it's a minefield out there. The thing is, you know, the situation is so bad that our standard way of eating is so low and far from what we should be eating that you're going to get result and improvement on any kind of diet, basically, if you reduce the junk and, you know, you start moving a little bit. And so this is why some people, you know, have results on keto, on paleo, etc., because they remove, for example, in the case of paleo, they're going to remove the dairy, they're going to feel better, of course. But again, I think what is important, as you say, is to not outsource the knowledge and outsource our health to people, to others, actually, just to feel empowered and do the research by ourselves. We live in exciting times where information is available. It is confusing, yes. It is a minefield, yes. There's definitely a few rabbit holes all over the place. But it's really also our own responsibility to exercise critical thinking, to look into things and to go further. In some cases, a whole food plant-based diet is not enough because if you've been damaging your body for a long time, this might not be enough. Maybe you need to go into detoxification with fruits and fasting and go further down. So, you know, it's all a matter of looking where you are at. And of course, the best is prevention. But the other thing that we need to understand is that we are not meant to be sick. We are meant to live in full vitality.
Of course.
And I'm sorry, but a 60-year-old in good health should be normal. You know, even an 80-year-old in a good health should be normal. But, you know, we associate, okay, being of older age with, you know, losing vitality, losing our ability and et cetera. But that's not the case. It's just because we are damaged younger and deeper. So just getting the sense that we can heal and we can be healthy if we want to.
So I find in situations like this where one family member gets ill from a lifestyle illness, so your cancers, autoimmune diseases to a certain degree as well, you get almost two types of people. You get the person that says, well, it's hereditary, like, okay, cool. And then you get the other person that realizes that it is preventable, but then is plagued by anxiety. Anxiety by, oh, wait, there's so much suffering in the world. Anxiety by, like, oh my gosh, like, how do I go about this? What would be your methods in counteracting this confusion because of so much media out there, and counteracting like the anxiety around healing yourself or healing a family member? Are there, or do you have resources or direct tips to give to people?
Right. So I think the first thing about anxiety is to understand that this is, although it can be so difficult, we can conquer anxiety and we can live free of anxiety. Now, anxiety can come from a lot of different sources, but I would say, for one, starting to look at what are we eating? Are we eating a lot of junk food, a lot of food that is hard to digest, a lot of food that doesn't grow in nature as such? Are we drinking alcohol? Are we taking medication that, you know, has a chemical impact? Are we exposed to a lot of pollutants or mold even, you know, in the house? Are we consuming a lot of aggressive and violent content? All these things feed into anxiety. Mm. And sometimes also we have trauma in our lives and grief that we haven't processed. We need to take a good look at that. And the thing for healing is only the person who needs to be healed, who needs to heal, is in the power to take the decision for himself or herself. We cannot heal someone who doesn't want to heal. We cannot heal someone who's not ready to take the steps, you know, for themselves. So the only way, if we have a loved one that is in a position that is suffering, and the only thing we can do is really to offer support and offer advice and insights and try to educate. But if ultimately it's the person's choice to go down that route, because healing naturally, and I think you know about that since, you know, your fiance healed herself naturally. It takes a huge commitment. It's a leap of faith. It's, you know, it's hard. It takes time. It's not about popping a pill and everything magically, you know, disappears. It takes hard work, and it's very rewarding, but it is challenging, because also a lot of people around you don't understand what you're doing and why you're doing it this way, and why you're not, you know, doing things like everybody else and going down the route of heavy medication. So I would say looking into what makes sense and how we reconnect with what makes sense is we all need a little bit more meditation in our lives to reconnect and listen to our inner voice and trust that instinct. You know, of course, it's very hard to know what is your instinct and what is your body telling you. For example, people tell, oh, my body is craving this. No, it's not your body. It's the bacteria in your gut that is imbalanced, that is craving this. You have parasites in your gut that is craving this. And we crave what we are made of. So, of course, if your body is in a high state of toxicity, you're going to crave things that are toxic for you. So just to have this honesty towards ourselves, to see where we are at, look at where we want to go, and look at what really is common sense, is logical. I think starting with looking at the anatomy of humans is a good start. How are we built? What is the pH in our body? What is, you know, what do we look like the most? And everything tends to show that we are a frugivore species that should be eating a food-based diet. Now, this is something that a lot of people are still in resistance with, and I understand. But regardless if we are in resistance to that, I think we should still be looking into it and try it for ourselves and see. Give it a long shot. You know, we can't judge something we haven't experienced.
Of course. Claire and I have both gone down the path of fruitarian diets predominantly, especially when she was healing from her autoimmune Hashimoto's. And transitioning to where we are now, so it's very cold, it's winter in South Africa. When we were doing a fruitarian diet, we're in Bali, it was hot. And I always urge people, if you look at the old ancient sciences of Ayurveda or ancient Chinese medicine, etc., these Eastern preventative medicines that cure a lot of illness and disease through food and lifestyle mm-hmm. and meditation and all that. And one of their biggest tenets are eating seasonally and locally. So if you eat locally, it will be seasonal. And we've of also course. Kind of lost, we live in this hyper focused world where like you've got Uber, you've got everything, your groceries land at your door. And I think it's very important to realize that a fruitarian diet, if you are in the tropics or if you are somewhere hot and it's local food, it is going to heal you because that is what the earth has given you. But when you start getting into more very cold winter, you're going to be, if you're going to just eat fruit, it might work for you depending on the constitution of your body, etc., but it also might not work for you. And what is okay to do is to change how you're eating from whole food to another whole food. So there is movement mm-hmm. to change, because a lot of people have been asking us, they were like, but you only ate fruit there, why don't you only eat fruit now? And it's like, but our weather has changed and we just felt that we needed to change when we go
but
back,
also maybe probably, you're not that sick now, you yeah. know. Because for someone who is really, really sick, then, you know, fruits will always be superior in that regard.
From a detox, and so it's very powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that depends really where you are, of course, and what you can afford, your circumstances, your environment. As you say, eating locally is always superior to anything else. But at the same time, if you are really dealing with something severe, then you want to go, even if you're in a cold weather, you want to try it out. And, you know, there's countless of testimonials of people who have successfully healed and yeah. even got out of the grave with fruits and fasting. And of course, you know, you want a hot meal, you want a soup, just go for it.
Yeah,
know?
Of course.
But yeah, that's important to know.
What is your view on organic produce?
Well, it's tough because there's a lot of different labels, you know, and different certifications. It's sad that we are in a world where we need to have a label for something that have less pesticide and less harmful than the rest. We need to be careful. I think more important than organic, we should be looking at growing our own food, and we should be looking at supporting, you know, we all talk about supporting farmers. Yes. So let's support local plant-based farmers, because this is how we are going to, you know, not only live in a society that is, you know, more in touch with agriculture, but also just healthier. So yes, I mean, organic, it depends, you know, if you have a young child, then yes, you might want to look at more organic. I try sometimes to buy organic. A lot of farmers have an organic practice without the label. So, you know, looking at what is grown locally with a clean practice, if possible, and then we can do only what we can do. You know, it's about, we all need to wash our vegetables and fruits. And that's the state that we are in right now.
Do you believe there is a big change in tides within the younger generations where it comes to awareness of veganism, plastic-free, and just like a conscious awakening?
What I see is that, of course, young people are more open to new ideas. When we are young, we're less molded, and maybe at some point we are in opposition with what's going on. And especially for someone very young today, just growing in a world where you know and you have access to this information, where your future is in jeopardy, that the planet is being destroyed at this rate, that in your lifetime you're going to see so many species going extinct. For sure, there is a shift in consciousness, but at the same time, I think it's always difficult to assess because we also live in echo chambers and we see what we want to see in a way. We see what we are most interested in, what we click after. So it would be easy to think that there's a massive awakening when actually, when we really look at the scale of the world, I think the trend is more towards more materialism and more consumption, etc. So there is both. I would say there is definitely an awakening, but at the same time, I think we need to really be clear that there's still massive destruction going on at the same time.
It's this irony of an idea of we've got so much information, like you said earlier, at our fingertips, more than governments used to have a couple years ago. And that's just individually. Right. And I suppose we get to choose in our life, are we going to use it to make a difference or are we going to use it for self-gain? And I think in one of your posts in the last couple of weeks, you mentioned how important self-care is. And I want you to elaborate on that point. Yeah.
I posted about it today again. I see amazing people. I get to work actually with my films with people who are so inspiring. And most of them, not all, but most of them are dealing with massive personal issues in terms of anxiety, in terms of depression, sometimes in terms of feeling overwhelmed, burnt out. And, for me, this is very worrying because these are the angels on this earth. You know, these are people who are out there making a difference, committing to greater good, you know, in the best of their own capacity, day in, day out, and they are not looking after themselves. And I feel that if we don't look after ourselves, then how can we make this sustainable? How can we be in this in the long run? I am trying to tell people as well, if we suffer more, taking on the suffering on the world in our shoulder and suffering, it's not helping more just because we suffer more.
Do you believe it will cause resentments?
Sorry?
Do you believe it will cause resentments, like bring on resentments because you're not following your own dharma per se?
Resentment in this way, resentment towards?
Like resentment towards oneself. So if you're not prioritizing your self, which is essentially self-care in a not an egoistic kind of manner, you're not really following what you need. So a couple of years down the line, you might revolt completely.
Yes. I mean, you, I don't know about resentment, but you might just not be happy, you know, because you're not, I believe that we all have a mission somehow, you know, it doesn't mean that it's a mission of saving the world and, you know, being, you know, on the red carpet or anything like that, but just living our lives the way that we are supposed to. And when we are disconnected from that, then it's very difficult to carry out our mission. And it's very difficult to live a life that makes us happy and fulfilled. And so I also believe that when this is what you are meant to do, things flow effortlessly in a way. Although, of course, it takes hard work. Of course, it takes commitment and action. And sometimes it's difficult and challenging, but it still flows in a way that shows you this is what you're supposed to do. And that's my own belief. And that's what I have experienced. So I think self-care is extremely important because, again, if we want to affect change, we need to look at long-term change and we need to have a full clarity on what we are doing, taking a step back and being also able to see, is that effective? Am I really creating change? Is that really positive? Or am I just running around in a circle of, you know, fear and anxiety? And then am I being really productive? And the answer is not always yes.
What is your soul mission on planet Earth?
That's a good one. I always knew for myself that it is about around alleviating suffering. So helping with the suffering. Now, how can be different at different stages. At this point in time, it's about communication and films. And so it's about, you know, contributing and building the blocks so that others can build on it later on. I'm building also on the basis of other people before me who have put, you know, the groundwork for us today to be able to have these conversations and to go out there and deliver this message. There's a lot of amazing people all over the planet who are dedicated to making a difference. So, in my case, it's really about, you could say it's about healing in a way, assisting the healing, assisting some kind of consciousness awakening. And today is with films.
I love your message because for me, I've always related. I eat a vegan diet, but my purpose and goal in life is to move forward consciously and have a conscious awakening. And who knows if I will have this lifetime or wherever it is, I would love to reach that point one day. But why is it so important for you to walk that path and be focusing your message and your content on your first documentary around veganism per se? What is the main linkage between veganism and a conscious awakening?
Again, what we put in our temple is extremely important. Our body is the most sacred thing that we may have. You know, if we have anything in this life, it's our own lives. And how we treat ourselves is really important. Before I was vegan, I had this question in the back of my mind that was really nagging at me, but I never really, you know, tried to listen to it. And that question was, when we eat animals, where does the suffering go? And I'm not raised as a vegetarian. I'm not raised as, you know, remotely as a vegan, not at all. I had no idea about vegans until a few years ago. And I ate, you know, all kinds of meat and cheese and eggs and everything.
French, like, so much cheese. Like,
yeah, French, of course. But also, like, amongst my girlfriends, I was probably one of the most carnivorous ones. But I had this in the back of my mind. So, you know, when we create this suffering, we are responsible for this. And then we put it inside our body. And so where does this take us? You know, I think we all have this. I mean, I hope that we all have this kind of feeling sometimes, thinking about the world and the scale and everything that's going on and the violence. And we feel powerless and we would like to do something about it. But, you know, we're told that, oh, that's the way things are. People are dying of hunger. This is because they live in this country. And, oh, there's a war, but it's far away. So it's not our problem, kind of. But this is something we have immediate control over to create less suffering, at least removing ourselves from this equation of creating violence in the world. And that was why I went vegan, actually. I decided that I could not carry on mindlessly, unconsciously living. I had to be more conscious and to look at what I was doing to create less violence for once, but also to do more good actively. And when I decided that, I was sitting at a restaurant, a Japanese barbecue restaurant, and I was having all kinds of, you know, animal flesh. And for the first time, I could see it was the animal flesh. It was not just meat. So I stopped and I never looked back. So it is extremely important if we want to further ourselves, like, to, again, being conscious is just about being at our best potential, meaning being conscious, understanding what we are doing, being aligned with who we are, and maybe inspiring others at the same time. And I see a lot of people who are extremely generous and kind people who help other people heal with all kinds of, you know, modalities, whether they are allopathic doctors or, you know, so-called alternative medicine healers. And most of these people are eating animals and they are living with this massive conflict inside of themselves, you know, something that contradicts immensely who they are, who they're trying to be. We can't better ourselves. We can't preach. We can't talk about love and being kind and being mindful if we continue to not being kind and not being loving and not being mindful about what we eat and animals. We can't draw a line and leave animals out of the equation, out of the conversations. We can't talk about sustainability and not talk about the animals. It's not possible.
So how do you answer your critics, or not just your critics, but critics of, I would say, our vegans around the world? And it's probably a lot coming from a lot from the paleo or the banting industry, etc. But it's critics saying that, well, we're humans, we're more intellectual, we're higher on the food chain, so that rule doesn't apply to us because it's survival. What would your answer be to that?
Well, I had people, you know, following paleo in my talks, and we all have a very pleasant conversation. My goal in the conversation is not to be right, it's to open a mind. So, you know, number one, we are not an omnivorous species. We are behaving like omnivores and actually more like necrovores, eating dead animals, because we are not hunting our animals. We cannot watch, most of us, 90%+ of people cannot watch slaughter videos. Or if we do, we don't feel hungry about it. If I put a full of bloody, you know, flesh under the nose of anyone, very, very few people, extremely few people will be, you know, feeling their appetite coming up. And yes, so this is not our species, and we are in denial of who we are. That's it. So we have intestine tract that are very long. We have an alkaline pH in the human body. Only the only acidic part is our stomach. We need to chew our food. We start digesting in our mouth. You know, we eat the wrong food. It gets trapped in our digestive tract. And then we get some disease. So what I say is, if we were true omnivores, it wouldn't matter what we eat. We would get better either way. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we are reversing heart disease, reversing type 2 diabetes, with a whole food plant-based diet shows us that it is superior, period. And it is superior because this is how we are supposed to eat. Now, if we want to go further, again, as I said, a fruitarian, a high food-based diet is getting, again, what we call miracles. And we only call miracles something that we don't understand. But if we simply understand, oh, actually, this is what we are supposed to be eating, then, you know, that's it. Now, if truly we are omnivores, let's say, you know, for argument's sake, that we are omnivores and we can choose. So why would we choose to create more violence? Why would we choose food that are unsustainable, that cannot feed the whole world? The UN states that the only way we can feed 10 billion people and more is with a plant-based diet. So why aren't we all going there? I want to take a vote for the future. I want to take a vote for more equal, more just. I want to eat the foods that more people can eat. I don't want to be feeling privileged, like, oh, I'm having a steak because I'm privileged, and then I don't care about others, you know? So, yes, that's the way moving forward. I understand this is, again, a very confusing times, and the way that we are raising, you know, growing our food is wrong, even plant food. So there's a lot to fix. There's a lot of work to do. But, yes, let's do it.
Yeah, and I think it all starts... it starts at home in two manners. It starts at home, meaning go out and find those local farmers around you. We land in a country once a month and we go find local farms. There's community projects now. I'm in Cape Town and there's a very cool community project where someone that I actually went to school with like a long time ago, they started this. They took the homeless people off the streets and said, we'll give you the seeds and you start planting a little veggie garden and in the middle of the town, and you sell it as a nonprofit. You take, you grow your own veggies and feed the shelter and use it as a development tool in order to progress. It's now in its like fourth year and it's done such amazing work with these guys on a spiritual level. But at the same time, it's feeding the privileged few around them because people are wanting this great veg and this great produce. And it's things like this. If it wasn't for this one lady that had some love and compassion in her life, like this whole roller coaster ride of helping so many people wouldn't have been around. And it's not just helping the homeless. It's helping the homeless. It's helping that person that's reversing his cancer at home, you know, his diabetes, etc.
Yeah, it's about creating value, creating true value. And this value is priceless. It cannot be, you know, priced on a stock exchange or anything. You know, it's making a massive impact. And I love hearing about this kind of projects because, you know, I see people who are going down that route, and they are not necessarily, you know, more wealthy or have more time. They have a lot of challenges as well. It's a lot of single moms that are, you know, taking in their hands, you know, the future of their family like that. And I think it's really beautiful. And I wish and I hope that more people do it every day.
We have a saying in recovery, not we, meaning so many people out there in recovery, that we only keep what we have by giving it away. And it's one of the most powerful things that I've ever learned. And
that's true.
It's put me in a position where I'll always do my best to try and give service and give back, because...
Exactly. And I think that's also something I believe as well, is that we can only ask for something we give as well. If we want the freedom, the love and the health for ourselves, we have to give it. And we have to give it also to the animals. Again, we can't leave the animals out of this conversation. If we want love, if we want peace on earth, if we want all these wonderful things, we have to be ready to give it as well.
Mm. I love that. And that's it's a very beautiful way to transition into your next documentary.
Sure.
What is it focused on? Where is it being filmed? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so that's really exciting. Let Us Be Heroes was done in about a month's time of work. And very quickly, I wanted something very small, easy, short, like 40 minutes on YouTube for free for everyone. And that happened so effortlessly, I'd say, that I realized, well, maybe that's something I should be doing. And I decided to launch myself into a feature documentary on the animals used by the fashion industry. So this is a big one.
Powerful.
Yes, this is something that hasn't been touched. The fashion industry has not been challenged. It has been, I would say, challenged a little bit with the true cost on fast fashion, but luxury brands are not being challenged. We're not questioning why in our day and time, why are we wearing animal skins, right? We hear saying we're so technologically advanced and smart, etc., and we hear with, you know, wearing skins. It's so strange, right? So this is really, I can't make any promises to the release yet, but I hope to be communicating on it very soon. And this is really taking a look at killing and raising animals for fur, leather, wool. I'll touch on feathers as well. And, tackling the myths that we have around that. So, I mean, in my former life, I had tons of leather. I always thought, you know, this is a waste product from the meat industry, so we might as well use the skins. Mm. And I think a lot of people, including people working in brands, believe that. And that's not the case. Mm. The skin is a part of the animal, just like, you know, the thigh or the shoulder or the sirloin or whatever you want to call it. And it has a price, and we are paying for it. So we're looking, for this film, I'm really looking at the sustainable argument of, you know, we are wearing animals, animals are natural, therefore it's sustainable. This is an incredibly misleading shortcut. Mm. And it's not true. So looking at the impact in terms of, you know, the environmental impact of this, because we are here having this conversation about climate change, climate crisis, and we are now starting to talk about the meat industry more and more, the dairy as well, meat and dairy. Yet you have the fashion industry right there that is a driver of this and absolutely complicit and not being addressed. And on top of that, it requires an enormous amount of chemicals, extremely harmful chemicals to humans and to the planet, to prevent the skins from decaying. So we have traveled to a number of countries so far. So we filmed a bit in Europe. We have some bits in the US. We have some bits in Australia as well. We went to India. And there's more to come. This is something that I find that a lot of documentaries are very Western-centric. And I'm trying to be a lot more open and to look at other places. And so we're not going to India to say, oh, look at what's happening in dirty India, but to say, look, this is the impact that we have when we are purchasing these products. And this is what this is doing to families and to people there. This is what it's doing to their water, to their land. So that's the sustainable angle. And of course, it's about the animals. It is about the animals. It will always be about the animals. And we need to really have this conversation. It's incredible that this is unchallenged. Today, nobody is talking about this. Mm. Only Stella McCartney, you know, is the one luxury brand that has always stayed away from fur and leather. But apart from her, no one in the, you know, again, I'm talking about the major brands, is really talking about this. And we need to talk about this.
And Rebecca, that's why you are a change maker. Thank you for thank you for bringing that to light. I'm very excited to watch that unfold. And that's going to get a lot of the big fashion industries itching. And I'm excited to support it the whole way. Are you planning on launching year?
Not this year, no. Okay. So earliest will be next year. But again, at this stage, because it's still early, we just started filming 6 months ago, I can't make any promises. What I can promise is that I mean to make it as impactful and aesthetic as it can be. So it will be, you know, aesthetic, but impactful. And again, uncompromising when it comes to truth. This isn't something that needs to come out.
Of course. There's only one story, and that's the truth. So
that's right.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing the truth. To finish off, I've got three power questions that I asked all guests. Okay. And I'm just going to go. You can answer them as eloquently and short as possible.
Yes.
Okay. <I know. laughs> Complete the sentence. The world needs
more change makers.
Okay. What is the purpose of the human experience?
It is the to understand oneness through the experience of separation.
How important is human connection and why?
Human connection just is. So it's not that it's important. It is who we are, actually. This is something that is well researched now, that is well proven. Everything is connected when we look at everything around us and us to each other. This is a field that is connecting all of us. So I think it's just about accepting our true nature and understanding this connectedness.
Rebecca, you're a very wise soul, and it's always so, it really is. It's so amazing to connect with a human being like you, because it's inspired me to do more. Like I want to get up from my chair. Yes.
Thank you for your kind words, but I have to say, you speak to me 5 years ago, I would say a lot of stupid things. So, you know, everybody can grow. We all have it in our hands to, you know, better ourselves, challenge ourselves and grow and really align ourselves. And so I may be wise today, I don't know, but I at least I know that I am doing what I'm supposed to do.
You know what the important aspect is? You don't hide from your past. And there's so many people out there that try and hide their past and try and just exaggerate their present moment that might seem to be doing really well and giving back, etc. But the real story is in the in-between of you connecting you to your past and understanding that everything's relative. You've lived it, you've stuffed up, you've moved forward, but the common denominator is you keep moving forward.
The journey is the growth, and the growth is in the journey, and that's it, you know, and we keep growing, all of us, every single day. We have opportunity to do that, and it's exciting, it's challenging, it's tough sometimes, but it's amazing. It's so, so, so exciting.
It's a beautiful, beautiful experience. Where can people find you?
So they can find me on social media at Let Us Be Heroes. And I'm on LinkedIn as well, Rebecca Capelli. So I'm quite open to connect. And so feel free to, you know, come in, even share some input. And very soon on Let Us Be Heroes, I'm mostly on Instagram, I would say. I would be communicating about the next film, the title, etc. So, yeah.
Amazing. I'm excited. Keep my eyes peeled. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, and have a beautiful week.
Thank you.
It means so much to myself and my change-making friends that you decided to spend some of your valuable time with us. It would mean even more if you could share their inspiring message to your loved ones. As someone once told me, the only thing more powerful than changing the world every day for the good is doing it with a community. Guys, I love you and I cannot wait to welcome you back next week. Remember to reach out to me directly at hello@garyterola.com if you have any questions, or hit me up on social media, Gary_Terola, Instagram and Facebook. I'm here for you, so let's do this together.